As the Lord begins to bring the change of the age, he begins to review the foolishness of man down through the ages. You know, the book of life, the Bible, is not only filled with the obedient acts of God, of God's people, but it's also filled with the disobedient acts. And he holds all those disobedient acts as testimonies of the failures of man. And the reason that God created man, starting with Adam, was to bring order in a civilization, bring order and civilization of his into a world. A world before Adam was made up of all sorts of different tribes of people. We could go into history and some other things, and we could find out the Java man and this and that and other. But they were made up of all sorts of tribes of people all over the earth. That they were completely demon-possessed. The judgment of God came upon the earth, broke the hold of Satan on the people, set Adam in to begin to reclaim the earth for the people. The snake that appeared there in the Garden of Eden, sly voice of the snake, was one of the old priests. Satan incarnated in an old priest of the judge civilization before Adam. Before Adam, it was terrible. Man-eating creatures, tribes, cannibalism. Man almost went out several times, giants in the land, pygmies, eating each other's brains. Almost too horrible and innumerable to describe what happened. But after Satan caused Adam and Eve to fall, the same thing started over, all down through the ages, till it's come to the place now where man is just about right back where they started from, far as being polluted and overcome with Satan. Now, man and their ideas, they think, well, today we have a great civilization. That's not true. Way back in Old Testament times, there were some great civilizations built. The civilization of Babylon was a great and far advanced civilization of people. But they tried to do it without God. When they did, one of the many things of Satan trapped them. Then you have a lot of the lost cities. A lot of the lost civilizations, they find in the seas that earthquakes destroy this and that and other. Far advanced, great civilizations, but something always trapped them. And you see a lot of these things spoken of in the scriptures and the prophets. You don't understand them, so you sort of pass over. But at the end of the age, God begins to review his case against man, how that men have tried and tried and tried to build their civilization without his plan, being trapped by Satan. And he makes it very plain now, just like he did when he started out with Adam. Something like, what, 6,000, right at 7,000 years ago? He makes it very plain. He said, I don't need you. I'm the beginning and the end. He said, I can end this thing right where it began. And said, I can begin right where it ended. I can create me a people that will obey me. That's exactly what he did. Before Adam. when the judgments of God hit the world and it just, the world erupted. Oh. All down through the ages, foolish people did try to build their civilization, and me they would deny. They'd find their utopia and set up their house, and sometime be destroyed by a very small mouse. People would find them a place, water was plentiful, land was fertile, the air was clean. All we found is a place to live. Now they'd move in there, begin to build their civilization without God. And just a little small thing like a mouse bringing a disease in there would just slay them and the civilization would be wiped out. And earth is scattered. The dust of the earth covers millions of these types of endeavors by man. When they conquer the mouse, the disease-bearing vermin, and said peace and safety, here came the fly, a scourge of flies, bearing disease of Satan, would ravage their land and upset their plan. If they conquered the fly, then here came the drought. No rain would fall, no food for their mouth. Their children would starve, only the strong survive. Disease and pestilence, their dreams would all die. In the plagues that came upon Egypt, God revealed all the scourge and all the pestilence that had been against humanity since the dawn of creation. To let them know it. If any survived, here came the rains, and flooded their land, washed it away. Some deciding to stay to survive another day. They lived in hope, but no chance to win. Some would say, we found the way. We'll get strong, build a great army, and invade other lands and steal their bounty. We'll make them slaves, and then we'll be saved. They'd live off others, sometime grow rich, but suddenly they'd find a flaw in their plan. The murdering spirit that let them wage war turned on each other, themselves they would destroy. This is what happened to Babylon and the Roman civilization. Rome, God uses Roman civilization for a type of the highest endeavors of man to make it without God. They had a place where there was rich, down on the Mediterranean Sea, trade center, They got rich. They said, we'll do this thing now just the way we want to do. We'll go out and we'll make all the world Romans, and we'll bring in their bounty, their money from their lands. We'll build up Rome, bring in slaves, and said, we, the Romans, are the patricians, I believe they were. Said, we'll just sit up and we'll enjoy life. We've got it all made, and we'll let everyone else do the work, and we'll live off of it. The flaw in the plan was this, very simple. That old reveling, murdering spirit. Two things begin to happen to them. They begin to kill each other. And the next thing, that idleness of their mind and the debauchery they lived in absolutely let them become demon-possessed. And Nero, one of the emperors, end up burning Rome for a kick. Without God's plan, countless bones covered of man's failures to build a society without God's plan. Satan makes them dream vain dreams.
Dream vain dreams.
Paul called them filthy dreamers. Jude called them filthy dreamers. Paul called them vain imaginations. Satan works in two ways. Works in the bloodstream of man, sickness, disease, and death. And works in their mind and their spirit, making them dream vain dreams that they can do this thing without themselves. They're real independent, you know. They can do it themselves. Satan destroying civilization. Without God's plan.
Without God's plan,
all modern society and instruments of war, reek of destruction with atomic war.
Atomic war, here we go.
Our Father has a plan. He offers to the world, to whosoever will come to Jesus Christ and let him lead them to his paradise and set their life in order by his Spirit of life. I command men to repent, and turn to me in simple obedience, else in judgment fire on the world I will cleanse. This is exactly what happens once a group of people begins to come into God's order. See it all down through the ages. He began to command the others to come to it. Because he has this idea, if one or two people can do it, all of you can do it. Because it's my grace that does it. And it's your disobedience and rebellion that keeps you from it, so now I command you to come to it. Once a group of people begins to make a breakthrough, the Mother Holy Ghost begins to call them her promised people. And she begins to cast out all the others and say, now, get out there and come back to them. Like Jesus said through John, said, come lick dust at their feet. There's where you're going to come. My hand is upon you. I built a fire on your wall. And if you don't turn, you'll surely fall. You've had your chance, but you yielded to Satan. Religion and war, Gog and Magog. You've divided my people with religion and war. You've persecuted the poor, slaughter the innocent. I winked at your ignorance for many long years, but truth has come, my long suffering ends. And why I roams to and fro over the earth. Said, when I find one man that obeys me and makes that breakthrough, said, through him I begin to command all to turn to me. Said, I have all that turns to me, then I begin to gather. This is the way he works. And he said, when I get a group as many as two or three, said, then the call goes out to the whole world. Turn or else. He said, I consider it this way, that I did not show respect to persons. I did not show respect to persons. And if one man can obey the truth in their weakness, every man can obey the truth in their weakness. He said, that's the way I look at it. said, I made it by grace through faith, and I just look at it that way. And that's the way he looks at it. To my people now in Babylon, who gave yourselves, gave yourselves to religion and war, I now call to you, come out from among them, lest you be judged for their evil deeds. Lord spoke, and he said, now once I was seeking him, I said, Lord, how does this work? We was nearing the end of our journey. We'd gotten into the New Jerusalem, began to go in, began to lead a small group in. I said, now how does this work? Seeking him. He said, once I get established, and I cut the root out of Satan, out of a people's life, how in the world gonna ever bring all those folks down? He said, I started at the top. He said, I cut the root out first and said, then I started at the top. Lord Jesus. He said, I deliver the underlings, but said, I strike at the head of evil. That through my people I strike at the root. And the little underlings, those that are caught in captivity. He said, when I strike at the head. Oh. Now you can figure out what that meant. I know what it meant. And don't think they're not already struck. To the leaders of the nations, I have something to say.
Something to say.
For many long years, you've had your own way. But now that is ended, in my balance is your way. And I found you all liking because of your evil deed.
Your evil deed.
You know why he brought Babylon down? Once a group of people began to break through in obedience, he began to slay the kings. They'd be sitting there and all at once their fingers start writing on the wall. Unbelieving king put his finger, thou art mine, mine, tekel, upharsin, thou art weighed in the balance and found wanting. This night thy soul is required of thee. Bang. Why ain't he done that before? He only does that when obedience makes a breakthrough. You can read it countless times. He said, I put up kings and I set them down. And he got them in such a shape there until there's even anyone afraid to take office. You say, he won't do that this day and night. You wait. It's already started. Oh, you've patted yourself on the back, said we've done no wrong, but the blood you've shed has cried from the ground, and the sufferings of my people have come up in my ears. I say now it's ended, you'll cause no more tears.
No more tears.
Now I want to minister a mystery to you. Isaiah said, in that day the earth shall uncover her blood. You'll be hearing this. But when the blood and the body, or the water of the body of Jesus Christ hit the ground there at the cross, God gathered to it all the innocent blood of the Old Testament. You remember from the blood from Abel to Zacharias? And then he said, I will build a sea of blood and a sea of the water of the flesh of my people. And I'll build an air for the crimes of their sufferings. Said every time that someone kills one of my innocent, righteous people, he said, I'll put their blood, the witness of their blood, in that sea of blood. And I'll put the water of their flesh in there with it. I'll let the crimes of their sufferings fill the air. So I'll tell you just how high I'm going to let it get. Said, I'm going to let that sea of blood, unless man repents, get right up to the horse's bits. Why there, Lord? Said, because that'll be just about even with the heart of the false prophet. Said, then I let the crimes of the suffering that fill the air, that join the crimes of the suffering of Jesus, get right up almost to the throne of Satan in the outer court. Seated in there, you knew his prince would bow there, seated on the throne. Said he's never going to smell them. That's what he did. Said, then I strike them with my resurrection power. Everyone get your mantle out in your hand now. Lay it right out in front of you. During the Middle Ages, that sea of blood, he struck it with death. Wormwood, every living thing died in it, and it became judgment, thousand years. Then, we begin to move into the New Jerusalem, out in Fort Worth. Christ made his appearance, just like he said he would, resurrection, lightning, just as lightning coming out of the east, flying clean out of the west. I was sitting there one afternoon in the spirit, laying there with my eyes closed, and all at once, fire of the resurrection. What, Lord? Strike the waters. Turn them into life, my people. And I strike the world out of man's hands. Power now is in the blood. He struck it with his resurrection. Knocked Satan down off of his throne. You know whose throne that reserved for there? You know who's supposed to sit on that throne? That's right. Jesus is supposed to be on that throne. You know who's going to have to put him there? He cannot come until his obedient people say, come, Lord Jesus. Did you know that through your obedience you put him on the throne right here in his church? Did you know that through your obedience, your act of faith, that you put him on the throne? He'd have never sat here if you had not obeyed and yielded to him. Did you know that? You know that's the reason he's alive right here now, is because you put him here by your act of obedience. And as the remnant comes forth in the earth, he sits on the great throne then, right where Satan has been sitting for thousands of years, prince of the power there, but he's none anymore. Whoa. Thank you. I place my angels around you, my angels of fire. My vengeance is ready at my command. In the days that lie ahead, I make many examples of those who resist me. Would you like to be the first? This is exactly the way God spoke. One of the prophets said when he began to move, he said he's like a man looking for a fight. He throws out the challenge, and now I'm getting ready to make some examples of my judgment. He said, now would you like to be the first one? That's exactly what he told. That's exactly what he spoke to the prophet, said he's like a strong man looking for a fight. And that's the message he delivers. You want to be the first one? Okay, let's have at it. To religion, I give you one chance now to repent. You have the truth, but in your vainglory, you chose the way of a harlot, chose the order of man. God puts a call upon a minister's life. And he's had it up on many. And they turn around and sell themselves to religion. You know what he considers them? A harlot. That's exactly, a spiritual harlot. And you know, the judgment under the law of our Father God, for a harlot and adulterer. Now, people that are overcome, he doesn't consider them that. They've just been overcome. But he only deals that to the ministers, the ones that he puts his call upon. Because it's the ministers that overcome the people by playing the harlot. Oh, it's tough, but it's true. Oh. I've had it written so plainly in my book of life, though a man be a fool, he cannot understand. But you chose to ignore it and follow theologies of Satan working through man. This is the way a minister plays the harlot. They desert the Bible. Did you know this? They only use the Bible as a supporting for their study courses. But did you notice one of the marks of the remnants of God's people that are being called out now? I don't care who they are. One of the marks of them is that they have never deserted that Bible. They might be polluted with religion, filled with all sorts of old mess. But no matter what, in their hearts, they would always come back to that Bible and say, I can't make it work, but I know it's so. I don't care who said it or not, I know it is. You find that mark in the hearts of all the remnant, that respect for that Bible, for that book of life. They may get polluted with all sorts of mess. 10 million things may get wrong with them. But you will never hear them speak against that Bible. How many of you know what I'm saying? So, whoa. Now, this is not true of the false preachers. It's not true. They have a bit more respect for that Bible, and they'll take it and use it to change it their way and build theologies out of it. And you wouldn't dare do that. The judgments of your God are something to behold. Great men cry out, the rich and the poor, for the mountains to fall and the rocks to hide them. But no place to hide from me on the throne. Oh, the wrath of my Lamb revealed in my book. Great men cry out, heart filled with fear, before the eyes of his wrath that they have disobeyed. They despise his suffering, and his innocent people they slayed. No mountains to fall, no rocks in which hide.
No hide.
They all fled away before my great throne. According to my promise, touch not my people.
Not my people.
Now the horns of the unicorn, ready to smite with fire.
Smite with fire.
Ooh. You know what the horns of the unicorn are? For the throne of God, there are two cherubims. Right up above that throne are the horns of the unicorn. You'll learn all this later, but the unicorn was a ancient animal that were used in the Adam age, made sort of like a rhinoceros, one great big old long horn, great big old feet, and it was used, created by our Father God, to cleanse the earth. Giant lizards, dinosaur, man-eating beasts. And it was a ferocious thing. You can see it in the Bible. Nothing could live around it. It would absolutely destroy anything in its domain and would stamp its domain completely dry into dust, into powder. Lived in nothing but dust, sort of like the buffalo or a bison. And they went in droves. They wouldn't hurt one another. They slept with their horns back like this, on their back. They loved each other, and they were real prolific. Boy, they'd raise families. And they'd always strike just before dawn, or they'd strike any time. But their favorite time to cleanse out on area was just before dawn. They'd ride and stick that horn straight out, and they'd charge into the enemy, and the first one of them would slay the enemy, the second wave would stamp them to pieces, and the third one would absolutely obliterate them and stomp them into dust. And that's the way the earth was cleansed in many places. Then when man fell into sin, of course, they began to turn on man, because man had the smell of fear and Satan on him. That's what they were absolutely bred for. You can see it in the scripture. Isaiah said, with the horns of the unicorn shall God push his enemies to the ends of the earth. When his judgment starts against his enemies, what he does. He turns down, you remember, right up on a cherubim and did fly. He turns down the horns of that throne. Ooh. And then when that happens, that's all she wrote. You remember also David speaking about, thou shalt save me from the horns of the unicorn? There's where the daily sacrifice, the burning body of Jesus, is hanging, right up there. Oh, above the horns of the unicorn. Where all of our needs are met. Oh. They said he's going to hang there now suffering till the body, my remnant, is gathered in the earth. I preserved it. I got him living on the inside of me. He is suffering and burning in the outer court, taking all the judgments for all ages until his body almost burned and blew away. Said, I preserved that burning, suffering body, hung it right up between the horns of the unicorn. So now my obedient people can take him down from there if they yield to him and stop his suffering. Said when the last obedient come in, he said, I've already said I'm going to judge the world by Jesus Christ. He said, I take what's left of that burning body, a fire and brimstone that took all the judgment for humanity. That's what turned him into fire in the outer court. Did you know that? He said, I take that and said, I turn it down. And said, and then I spray it on the wicked. I told you I'm going to judge the world by Jesus Christ. Oh, 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 oh. Oh, the wrath of your Father is something to behold. I ride my cherubim's horns out in front. My angels of fire burn around and before me, and cleanse out the area to plant my new vineyard. Oh, foolish man, said I'll fill my barns, I'll store enough to last me, and I'll take my ease, rest in ease. But our Father God pounced in judgment on him. He passed in judgment, saying, this day thy soul is required. This day thy soul is required of thee.
Required of thee.
Another fool said, I'll build my house on the sand.
On the sand.
The sand of the beast. According to man's plan, for a while he prospered, great numbers and praise of men. Then the floods came, washed it all away. Now John, in the book of Revelation, explained what that sand was that Jesus talking about. The man built his house on, he saw the beast, false church, stand up on the sand of the sea. You didn't know that, did you? But you do know it now. The religion made a lot of interpretations about what sand is. But it's very plain in the book of Revelation, the beast stood up on the sand of the sea. The man that builds his house there among the beast, the religious church. Floods come, they're washed away. So be thou not like this foolish man, but build thy life upon Jesus the rock. And in the time of judgment, according to his promise, they may beat against you, but you'll fall not. Oh, 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 oh. The mystery of iniquity is now unfolding. It lies in the good and evil of man. Satan's two natures of good and evil makes man good without the life of Christ. You don't need God. All you need is Bible knowledge. Knowledge of good and evil. Then you'll be all right. Then turn from evil and be thou good. Whispers the sly voice of Satan through religious man. How many of you ever whispered that voice in your preaching? I thought that was the way, didn't you? I won't tell you the story when I found out different, but it was very early. I was ministering to a group of people. There wasn't any way in the world to ever make them turn from evil and be good. But you know, while I was ministering to them, in my faltering, ignorant way, no knowledge then, all at once the Lord healed one of them right in the middle of the room, and the whole bunch got filled with the Holy Ghost, and it flabbergasted me. There was an evil bunch of folks got filled with the Holy Ghost. Didn't know anything about religion. You're talking about unicorns being wild. Those folks are wild. You couldn't even get them to town hardly, much less to church. Good works is what I want, whispers Satan as God. So give your mind and your life to me. I'll fill your mind with good and what's evil. Then like God, good you'll be.
Good you be.
You're the sons of Satan, Jesus told the Pharisee.
Told the Pharisee.
You know not my Father, neither do you know me.
You don't know me.
You claim to follow Moses as your example of life. If you'd have known Moses, then you'd know me. You're the children of the devil. Our Lord Jesus said, you claim Abraham as your father, though he is dead. Yet you go about to kill me, who's done you no wrong. If you'd have known Abraham, before Abraham I was. Oh, 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 oh. I want you to understand this. Or you won't be overcome when a lot of these things you thought were good begins to burn up right in front of your eyes. Some of these things have already been burning up in the wars you thought were good. It's just a taste. The evil nature of Satan fulfilled in the dark ages. When he murdered and ravaged and tortured in the earth, using the false church and warlike men, he bathed the world in innocent blood. When Satan's evil nature was fulfilled, God sent an angel and locked him in hell to give man a chance to turn to Jesus Christ, forsake their way, turn to God's own Son. When there began to be a revolt in the false church after all the bloodbath, people began to rise, and there Jesus began to appear to a bunch of the ministers. Said, open the door. Knock, I'll open the door, I'll come in, sup with you. And revivals began to break out in that church. And of course, the church began to turn and begin to kill their own people then. Way back. Way back, years ago, 4000 AD or something like that. And God said, I'll send an angel. Since a group of people have started turning to me, I'll send an angel in that church and I'll lock Satan in hell. And that's what he did. Locked him up, said, I'll give man a chance. Said, I'll give you a chance to move to me. Said, then, if you don't move to me, you go to going back into disobedience. He said, I'll gradually unlock him. Let him come out. And this is what you see in the book of Revelation. You see those hordes descending out of hell. Every time man's disobedience, a little more of the demons would be released. Said, that's what you want, I'm going to give it to you. Until finally they put him back on the throne. Until the Lord knocked him down this time. But alas, the false church and religious man begin to choose Satan on good way and plan. They learn knowledge of good and evil, and became good in their own works, calling themselves preachers of Christ. They went all over the earth in every nation, defiling the earth, preaching against evil, making man good in Satan's plan, building schools and great kingdoms. They promoted Satan's good religious plan, calling themselves preachers of God, with great swelling words they captured the whole earth. They had it pretty much to themselves too, even though there were a lot of people saved. Many of them had experiences that were of Satan, but there were some saved. Pretty well had its way till about 14 years ago. The one with eyes of fire and hidden hair of whited wool made his appearance. So now it's time to restore all the things that were lost. All the revelations of Christ, get them restored. But I didn't know that's what he's doing. I mean, I knew that's what he's doing, but I didn't know what he's doing. All right. But when he got them all restored, said, now it's time to move. Become children of the adoption. Move in the New Jerusalem, become the children of the promise. Here we are. Using the Bible, God's book of life, they perverted it to their own way. Theologies of what's good and what's evil, they even desecrated his holy book of life.
Book of life.
Built great idols of religious education, saying, look how good we are, can't you see? Till now iniquity has come to its fullest, and the world is under the wrath of God. This thing caught many of you, didn't it? Let me remind you of something. All the time you were in there, you were the most miserable person you ever saw in your life. It just tearing you all to pieces, wasn't it? You were trying your best to be like others, but you were always the ugly duckling, the black sheep, weren't you? And all you felt condemned, didn't you? So you will never make it. Argue, every time someone would tell you some theology, you'd go to arguing with them. Then they'd jump on you, and then the devil would tell you how ignorant you were. I sure am glad you suffered. Whoa. John prophesied it all in the book of Revelation. The little book in the angel's hand. He took it and ate it. In his mouth it was sweet, but in his belly, bitter with death. So it is now with religious preaching of good and evil for your life.
it sounds good till you try to live it, but then it brings forth death. How can this be? How can Satan deceive and corrupt the world and the human race? The answer is simple. Man is condemned already. So he again condemns them more and makes them feel guilty. And when he has him condemned, he offers a false salvation plan, an altar which to pray through and find God. And you will and will till you get relief and you feel a little better, but just for a little while. The very moment you find something in your life wrong, here comes that guilt rising again. And around and around, like a dog chasing his tail, a life without end, torment under Satan's heel. You get saved in a revival meeting, and by the time there's another, you need saving again. It's very evident that something was wrong, for you had Jesus, his blood would have kept you. Satan's salvation plan.